The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
When Nicole Sandler sits down to do her show, she's the producer, booking the guests, pulling the audio, planning the show, the engineer, running the controls, troubleshooting any problems, playing the sounds, calling the guests, and she's the webmaster, writing the blog, posting the podcast, maintaining the website, not to mention the host, interviewing the guests, explaining the issues, giving opinions, and calling out the bad guys, and then you get the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
Ha ha! Welcome to a Wednesday, everybody. I am Nicole Sandler. We are live at NicoleSandler.com. And right off the bat, I'm going to start by saying this program is not behind any paywall. Anybody and everybody is welcome to listen, comment, call in, enjoy, I hope, and participate. You can do it. We've got two chat rooms going, one on YouTube, one on the Listen Live page at NicoleSandler.com. And how do we sustain ourselves? And I'm using the royal we here because it's just me. By your donations, your support of this program is what allows me to keep doing it. So if you enjoy it and if you're in a position to donate to the cause, either a one-time deal or an ongoing monthly subscription, you could do it through PayPal, you can do it through Stripe, you can do it through Patreon, you can do it through Zelle or Venmo. There's all kinds. Oh, you can send a check. You can commission a painting or an art project. I'm open, but I do need your support. So however you want to support the show, if you can, please do. If you can't, I know what it's like to not be able to afford to support the programs you like listening to. That's why there's no paywall here, to be honest, because I know a lot of people are still struggling since the 2008 Bush depression, not even a recession. But anyway, I'm saying it now at the top because I always get too busy during the show and I forget. So it's my least favorite thing to do is ask for money. But, you know, it's what keeps me going here. So I have to. All right. Now that that's done, let's get to the gist of the program. Today, Jen Taub is going to be here. Jennifer Taub, she is a lawyer. She is a law professor. She's the author of a couple of books, including her most recent one, Big Dirty Money. And she actually has a piece that she that published yesterday at Slate.com. And the headline was, with the Trump raid, Merrick Garland draws a line in the sand. Now, I know that people who write articles for newspapers or websites or whatever don't usually write the headlines. So I'll be curious to find out if Jen used the word raid, because I don't think she did. In fact, I don't believe she did even in the article, which I read, but honestly, I didn't notice if she used the word raid or not. And the reason I ask is because that's a loaded word. When you think of raid, you think of, you know, what they did, for instance, on, you know, on Roger Stone's house when they, you know, they did knock. So in essence, that's not even a raid, but it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. They took him by surprise. They came up, they pulled him out of the house, and they went in and they executed the search warrant with a raid. This, at Mar-a-Lago yesterday, they did inform the Secret Service not long before they showed up, but certainly before they arrived on the premises. The Secret Service let them in. They were in plain clothes. They weren't all decked out in FBI garb. I wouldn't call it a raid, but that is the problem with the way this story has been reported. Now, as we know, we got the details. The story broke Monday afternoon when a Florida politics blog, this guy Peter Schorsha, or however you say his name, tweeted out, looks like the FBI is at Mar-a-Lago, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't know exactly what he wrote. And then he said something to the effect of, I'm just one person here. And I don't have the journalistic chops to investigate further. Maybe some of the actual, you know, big big news outlets can get on this story. But he was the first one. And the FBI showed up at Mar-a-Lago at 10 a.m. I think the story broke later, much later in the afternoon, early evening, when the news organizations, networks and such actually got on it. And that's because the Justice Department and the FBI, they're not going to say, hey, we just served a warrant on Mar-a-Lago. That's not what they do. So somebody at Mar-a-Lago informed the press. Now, Mar-a-Lago this time of year is closed. Who knew? Certainly not me. But apparently the club is closed for the summer months. And I got to say, I don't really understand why. Look, I know it's hot. It is summer. It's August and it's Florida. But I'm looking at the, you know, the temperature that conveniently shows up right on my computer desktop, and it says 87 degrees. Now, again, it's Florida, so we have 100% humidity all the time, and it's muggy and it's sticky and it's hot and uncomfortable. But so is the rest of the world, or at least the hemisphere right now, right? I mean, every day I look at the, you know, the YouTube chat room, which is always hopping. You should come in and say hi. But people in there are always always sharing where they live and how damn hot it is. And Florida is not the hottest place to be right now. But so you know, the orange guy goes up to Bedminster. Usually that's where he held that Saudi golf tournament. And that's where he tends to spend the summer months instead of down here. Well, it's hotter and more humid up there. Just saying. Because not everything is as it seems. And I point this out because there have been a series. Now, look, I have pushed back a little bit on some of the criticisms of media coverage of the Biden administration. And probably I shouldn't, because the press coverage has been uniformly bad, not good. But the way they covered this service of a search warrant is shameful. And in fact, Let me see if I can pull this up. The Washington Post today had a headline that was embarrassingly, just blatantly biased. Horrible. And I first saw it when Digby retweeted a guy who has actually been on the show, a guy named Ron Filipkowski. And he's an activist, right? And Ron Filipkowski tweeted or retweeted somebody else complaining about this Washington Post story and headline. A guy named Damon Kieso, K-I-E-S-O-W, tweets out, "This is so embarrassing. I worry for the future of journalism." And the photograph, I'm guessing it's on the actual story, but I don't know for sure because I don't have a hard copy of the Washington Post. But the story picture is Joe Biden walking with Merrick Garland. And the headline is, "Garland vowed to depoliticize justice. Then the FBI raided Trump's safe." Sorry, I got to add a sound effect here. That is just pure
bullshit.
It's just nonsense. First of all, this then infers that by the FBI searching Mar-a-Lago, that he politicized the Justice Department. That too is
bullshit.
It's bullshit because it's doing his job, right? They had evidence that Donald Trump was violating the Presidential Records Act, something that is a serious law that was put into effect after Nixon destroyed records, destroyed evidence during Watergate. So what happened then, so there was so much pushback on that headline that they deleted it. And the new headline reads, "FBI's search of Mar-a-Lago lands Merrick Garland in a political firestorm." No firestorm. The firestorm is on the right, where these people are losing their minds, collectively losing their minds. The subtitle on this article says the partisan outcry was the opposite of what Garland, a former federal judge, has sought in his 17 months on the job. You know what? He's not seeking anything political. He's seeking justice. And that means prosecuting anybody who breaks the law, even if he is a former illegitimate president. Even if he's a former legitimate president, which, you know, Trump never was. So, you know, really, this is, it's just, it's irresponsible at best. And it's a dereliction of their duty at worst. Former House staffer Aaron Huertas tweeted in response to the Post's correction, "This is a ridiculous headline, but look who's quoted. If Republicans go wall to wall to say it's partisan and Democrats largely stay silent in deference to an independent investigation, it can actually lead to worse coverage as Republicans fill the void." And then when they the Washington Post retweeted a clarification. It says, clarification, a previous tweet of the story had a headline that has changed after publishing. We've deleted the tweet. And Aaron Huertas tweets, democracy dies in darkness, but lives in the ratio. Because apparently that tweet, it's a thing on Twitter. It got ratioed. Let me see if I can't find the original. Okay, so, well, this is not really ratioed. There were 63 quote tweets, 351 likes, and 31 retweets. So I don't know. I don't know that. But on and on again, there's an ongoing discussion on Twitter about how the Washington Post is perverting the journalism here. Here, Thing Sandwich replied to the Washington Post saying, searching Mar-a-Lago is depoliticizing the Justice Department. It's following the crimes regardless of who committed them. Whoever framed your prior headline in such an obviously biased and misleading way should be fired. Chase Hunter says, just retract the story for fuck's sake. Why is Biden even pictured? Why does the article assume this is political? Why are you feeding into bad faith narratives without evidence? And it goes on and on and on. I mean, there are many, many responses, and I'm not picking them. I'm just reading them at random. Nice photo of Garland and Biden. Feeding that narrative that Biden is behind the search warrant. Nice job, Washington Post. And it goes on like that. But that's not all. So there's, you know, if you listen, and I don't, I tend not to, listen to right-wing hate talk media, but it's there. It's almost impossible to miss it, because even if you don't seek it out, it shows up thanks to the rest of our media. So there's a guy named Jesse Waters. Apparently he was a Bill O'Reilly producer. Now, I've got nothing against producers who work their way up. It's my story. But I do have a problem when you're a sexist asshole, sexist, racist pig of an asshole, to clarify a little more. And just, you know what, I didn't even pull a Jesse Waters clip, but let's see if real quick I can pull something up. But I'll tell you something, these people are losing their shit. So Jesse Waters basically is suggesting on the air, and if this were an over-the-air television station instead of a cable channel, I'm talking about the Fox Not News channel, the license would be at risk, because what he's saying is that that the FBI planted evidence at Mar-a-Lago. That's his lie. This is what they say on a channel that they put the word news in its name. Make no mistake, Fox News is not news. It's fake news.
Your original source for fake news. Fox News. We make shit up.
They do. So, you know, in case you were wondering. But anyway, you know what? I'm not going to go out of my way to look for Jesse Waters comment. Just know that that's the crap they're spewing over on the Fox Not News channel. That the FBI planted evidence there. No, they took evidence out. The reports are that they removed around 10 boxes worth of stuff that Donald Trump did not own, had no right to take out of the White House. And as much as they try to, I'm talking about these right-wing hate talkers and their minions, as much as they try to say that this is normal, that everybody takes stuff out of the White House.
Bullshit.
No, they don't. This is what happens when you put someone in office who has no business being there, who's never read the Constitution, who doesn't understand how government works, and thinks that the generals should be loyal to him. Oh, someone who thinks that the attorney general is his personal lawyer. Tell you something, Donnie. The attorney general represents the people of the country and the office of the presidency and the Constitution, not any one person personally, certainly not you. But he doesn't get it. He makes shit up and swears to it. Oh, but then he doesn't swear to it because he takes the fifth in court. Yes, Donald Trump, the man who very famously repeatedly said shit like this.
When you have your staff taking the Fifth Amendment, taking the Fifth, so they're not prosecuted. When you have the man that set up the illegal server taking the Fifth, I think it's disgraceful.
The mob takes the Fifth. If you're innocent, why are you taking the Fifth Amendment?
Fifth Amendment, horrible. Horrible.
He pleaded the Fifth, and that was the end. We never heard about him again. This is like Watergate, only it's worse. Because here, our foreign enemies were in a position to hack our most sensitive national security secrets.
Oh, my God. Well, you know what? So if you take the Fifth, it's because you're guilty. Because only criminals take the Fifth, right? Well, Donald Trump's son, Eric, took the Fifth something like 100 times when he had to go under oath for a deposition. And today, Papa Trump did the same thing. Yeah, the big orange blowhard all of a sudden couldn't find his words except to take the Fifth. I take the Fifth. I guess it means he's guilty. Well, we know that. But, you know, sometimes you just have to point out the hypocrisy. And I know nobody cares about right-wing hypocrisy, but I do. So in 2018, that same sorry excuse for, a president signed a law making it a felony to take government papers without authorization. A felony. Donald Trump signed that into law. Now, it was already a law because the Presidential Records Act that was put into effect after Watergate was there to keep a criminal president like Trump or Nixon from destroying official White House papers. That's why it's there. He had no right to take these boxes out of the White House. And the Justice Department got wind of the fact that when they said they were returning everything, and they did, they turned over 15 boxes some months ago, that they still had more that he was keeping. And allegedly, reportedly, what they noticed was missing were those love letters from Kim Jong-un, because that's what a president with all his marbles does, tells the dictator of North Korea that he loves him. Yeah, sorry, I get all, get that tension rising again when I think of the shit that he did in office. So let's get in the Wayback Machine for a moment and think back to around 2018. You know, everything from the time Trump, I can't even say the words, won the election. He lost the popular vote to Hillary Clinton by some 3 million votes, but somehow eked out a win in the bullshit Electoral College. So he ascended to the presidency, as distasteful as I still find that. But they were so intent on prosecuting Hillary Clinton for allegedly destroying some personal emails, or because she did White House business in a personal email server. You remember the whole email thing that they just investigated ad nauseum. And they just wanted to send her to jail. That's what they wanted to do. So when the FBI investigated, they applauded it. And I got to give credit once again to Trevor Noah and The Daily Show, because they put together a little montage. Now, if you're watching on video, you'll see it. When you see the video, you'll see that on the Chyron, a lot of this audio was lifted from Fox, not news, that this is from the days when they were actively pursuing prosecuting Hillary Clinton. They wanted to lock her up. The email lady, lock her up. And claimed that wasn't political, but this is. So think about it. Listen to these comments. It starts with Mike Pence, and you'll recognize, I'll jump in and say who's speaking when I can, for those of you just listening to an audio stream. But listen to what they're saying and realize that they were saying all this about Hillary Clinton, but just substitute Donald Trump for Hillary Clinton. And you'll see that they are full of
bullshit.
But you knew that already. All right, so let's start with Mike Pence.
The FBI stepping forward at this moment has demonstrated real integrity.
Yeah, when you have a presidential candidate, the FBI has a duty to we the people to investigate any appearance of impropriety.
Yes. Patriotic FBI agents are pushing and trying to do something, but this requires a full, comprehensive investigation.
I don't know what took the FBI so long to try to get it.
She made a choice to leave government with all of these documents as though they were her property.
Clear intent to evade the Federal Records Act. That's mishandling classified information. Why wouldn't the FBI act on that?
I mean, come on. Are we supposed to believe that after over time that she just didn't know what the rules were?
It is a federal crime to negligently handle classified information.
Multiple felonies that we're talking about here.
My verdict, based on the evidence, is guilty.
Oh, please. Jeanine Pirro. My verdict, based on the evidence, is she's guilty. They can't have it both ways, except when they do, because now it appears that they do have it both ways. It's really, really quite sickening. So we'll get into this quite a bit with Jen Taub, who will join us in just a few minutes. But you know what? Before we bring Jen in and return to that subject, I must mention that once again, yesterday was a primary day. There were elections in Wisconsin, Vermont, Minnesota, and Connecticut. And as much as I hate to report this, all of the Trump, election denying candidates appear to have won their primaries. So in Wisconsin, for instance, Trump's chosen candidate, an election denier named Tim Michels, M-I-C-H-E-L-S, if that's how you say it. He won the Republican primary for governor of Wisconsin, backed by the former guy, over the rival who was backed by Mike Pence. And in Washington State, a third Republican who supported impeachment, who voted for impeaching Trump in the second impeachment trial, a six-term Representative Jamie Herrera Butler lost. She was defeated in her primary by another Trumper. So that makes her the third, in addition to Peter Mayer of Michigan and Tom Rice of South Carolina. And not only are these election deniers winning in primaries for governor in governor's races and senatorial races. But they're also, I made a pun when I was writing What's News this morning. They're still on a slow moving train to derail our democracy. In Minnesota, an election denier named Kim Crockett, who claims the 2020 election was rigged and illegitimate, Well, she won Minnesota's Republican Secretary of State primary. And she's not alone. She'll grow a growing number of election-denying Republican candidates who won their Secretary of State primaries as this insurrection party attempts to take over the country. And I know, I feel like the kid, you know, crying wolf or with his finger in the hole in the wall, saying this is the most important election in our lifetimes. Because it seems that I say it every 2 years, every time there's a midterm election or a presidential election. But I don't think I've ever been as serious as I am now. Because if these people, and I use the term hesitantly, just because I could call them miscreants, I can call them Neanderthals, but then the cavemen will complain. It never ends. I have a lot of other words I could use them. People, you know, sorry excuse for humans works too. If they get their chance, they will lie, cheat, and steal their way through this election, and they will put Donald Trump back in power, whether the results call for it or not. Because that's how they roll. And at the same time, they'll accuse the Democrats of doing exactly what they're doing. It's projection. So just know that every time they accuse the Democrats of doing something evil, that they do it because that's what they do. They say it because that's what they know, because that's how they act, and that's what they do. You know, little kids, little children, you know how they often say out of the mouths of babes? Because there's this inherent honesty in little children. They don't yet know how to lie. And I'm talking like, you know, 3 and 4 year olds. When they're just learning command of the language, their brains aren't developed enough to be that underhanded, that sneaky. They don't lie. They start lying soon after 4 years old. But up until that point, they don't. They don't, because they don't know. It's like the song from South Pacific. You've got to be taught to hate and feel all the things that your relatives feel. You know, you've got to be taught, carefully taught, to hate, because that's not normal. I don't think we normally go through, you know, embark on life saying, you know, we want to win, but we're going to win at any cost. We're going to steal our way in. These sorry excuses for human beings on the right accuse the Democrats of doing exactly what they do in practice every day. Because that's how they think. That's how they operate. So why would they think anything different? They ascribe to us the bad behaviors they exhibit. Just saying. By the way, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, a member of the squad who I think has been, look, she says some things that, you know, that I applaud her for speaking her mind. Sometimes I agree with her. Usually I do. Sometimes I disagree. But she beat back a primary challenger from a, what the media likes to call centrist, what I call a conservadem, a Minneapolis City Council member, Don Samuels. It came down to like 2 points, but she won. And now, she is in a very blue district, so she will be reelected. There was no chance that district in Minneapolis would go for a Republican, but thankfully they beat back the conservadem. But, you know, next week, the primary takes us to, Alaska, Wyoming, R-O. I don't know what that is. I would say Rhode Island, but it looks like an RO. My handwriting is horrible, and sometimes I can't read it. South Dakota for sure. I got to look and see what that fourth state is. It's a special election in Alaska. Okay. Oh, I guess that's when we find out if Sarah Palin will fill. This is the special election in Alaska that's being held next Tuesday, is to fill the seat that was vacated when Don Young died. And yes, Sarah Palin is on the ballot. That's the race that Santa Claus was running in, Remember we spoke to Santa Claus? He was just so cool. And unfortunately, he did not win his primary. So he's not in the general. But next Tuesday is the special election to fill out the remainder of Don Young's seat. And then they go through it again in November. Perfectly logical, right? Yeah. No, not. But there's that. All right. I told you we have a guest coming up today. I'm happy to see that she's in the chat room. So let's welcome Jennifer Taub back to the show. Jen is a lawyer. She's a law professor. She's an author. Her most recent book is Big Dirty Money. Hey, Jen, welcome back to the show. Thanks so much for being here today. Oh, and I have no audio on you. Your mic is on. Uh-oh. Do we have? Okay, you know what? I had problems earlier getting audio from this computer. I hope that's not going to be a problem again today. It might be. Let me try one other thing. That's not going to work either. That's not going to work either. I think I know what the problem is. Jen, is there a... Can I... I'm sorry to do that. I had a complete computer meltdown last week, and I'm still getting the pieces back together. We have video, but it would be asking too much to get both video and audio. Do you have a phone handy? Can I call you? And so we can talk. Okay. If you put your phone number in the chat here on Zoom, I can call you, and you'll have to talk with you. Well, we can have video and audio, but I should have realized when I couldn't get the audio coming through this monitor before that I wasn't going to be able to pull up your audio. So if you, there you are. Okay. So I'm going to call you there because we're so high tech around here. But you know what? It's when there's a fire, we put it out. That's how I roll. And now we'll get Jen up on the phone and we'll have her video and we'll have her audio. And I also want to say that Jen has a piece in Slate at slate.com that is what prompted me to actually call her today. You there?
I am here.
Hi. Yay. I'm so sorry about that. You know, I have gremlins that no matter how much I try to exercise them from my studios, they keep coming back. So anyway, we make it work. Somehow we make it work. Well, welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for being here today. Big news week, huh?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I'm just, you know, waiting for the next shoe to drop. It's insane.
Right? And I love the piece that you have up at salon.com because the headline is, and I got to ask you, if you write the headline, with the Trump raid, Merrick Garland draws a line in the sand. I don't think you used the word raid, did you? Or did you?
Well, I don't like to be shamed into avoiding that word. I like to use the word raid in quotes because I think saying something like executed a search warrant on Mar-a-Lago isn't that punchy.
Right.
And, you know, it's a raid. It's a lawful raid. And I'm simply not going to have my vocabulary limited. I don't think there's anything pejorative about a lawful raid.
No, I get you. The distinction I made, though, I look at a raid as like what they did on Roger Stone's house when they showed up at 6 o'clock in the morning with no advance notice, bang on the door, wake him up, bring him out, and they go inside. That to me is more of a raid. Or when they raid, you know, an illegal gambling joint. That's a raid. This was executing a search warrant, and I guess it doesn't sound as sexy, but I think, you know, by stressing the word raid, it makes it sound a lot more incendiary than it was. They executed a search warrant. They didn't execute a person. They executed a search warrant. And yet right-wing media is acting like, well, someone's even saying it, that they're going to assassinate Donald Trump. Did you hear they went that far?
I don't really think what they say is worth us repeating, even though I repeat it all the time. But in other words, you know, I'm not going to let them frame here. We have a person who is credibly accused of many crimes, and the fact that there was probable cause to go onto his premises and take back the things he's continually withholding and lying about sounds great to me. And, you know, these folks are going to scream and yell, and they also say racist and sexist and homophobic and anti-Semitic things. And, you know, let them do that. For all of their bluster, they did not have people in the streets. It's been two nights. They've done nothing. You know, they are so dispersed. Yeah.
There were tens of people in the streets outside of Mar-a-Lago. Tens. There may have been two trucks that had Trump billboards on them. I'm being facetious, of course. They're talking about basically burning down the place. I mean, if you listen to some of the reporters who live on these, you know, on Truth Social and these other, the Donald and other places where they gather and post comments, they're talking about civil war, which is pretty insane. So,
you know, we're already, even without their civil war, we already have, it's dangerous to go to school.
Yeah.
It's dangerous to go to Walmart. It's all this stuff. So, you know, they have cried wolf one too many times. And, you know, we need to just move through life, you know, supporting the rule of law and not letting a, you know, man who believes he's above the law get away with it over and over and over.
I agree. And that's the thing. This is the law. When I first heard about it, I think we probably all had the thought that it was somehow related to January 6th. The more information we get, it looks like this is a true instance of they got credible information that Trump removed all these documents from the White House that he had no right to. We have the Presidential Records Act that was put in place after Watergate to prevent this sort of theft of, you know, of administration materials that belong at the National Archives, not with a former president. And that seems to be what this was about. So something completely apart and separate from January 6th. And that Donald Trump even signed legislation saying in 2018 that if you take official records out that you don't have a right to, that you should be charged with a felony. He signed that, right?
I mean, yes, and it was in response to her emails. I mean, it doesn't get bigger than that. He is being investigated, and it appears that a search warrant was issued under the same law he enacted. I mean, I don't know. And by the FBI director he appointed.
Yes.
Is made or Democrats. He made the law happen. He hired the FBI agent. He finds out, holy shit, the law applies to me. That's not what I meant. Hey, rich, white, powerful white guy. Okay, you get the idea.
I get the idea. And it's insane. But you know what? We have a mutual friend, I believe, in Brian Karam. I know he appears with you on Mary Trump's podcast all the time. And we had this conversation some months ago about how, you know, they have this idea that things don't apply to them. Proverbially, their shit doesn't stink. You know, they can do whatever they want. I just played a clip from The Daily Show from last night, where they put together a montage of these right-wingers on TV back around probably 2018, all with their lock her up. You know, the FBI is doing their duty. They're getting in there. They need to investigate Hillary Clinton because, you know, lock her up. And now they're saying the same thing. And frankly, this is more serious. Donald Trump broke a law that he signed into law. The hypocrisy is stunning. But what Brian says is you can't shame them with hypocrisy. It's a given. They don't care. And they have no shame. They're oblivious to it. They can say and do anything they want. And we can't call them out on it. And if we do, they say there's no there there.
Yeah, do you hear my dog barking?
I do.
He's very upset.
I hear, as he should be. Who is he? Tell us who the dog is.
Ponzu. He's a black and white mini, or actually tricolored mini Bernedoodle, who has quite an attitude. He runs the house.
As they should. My Jackson, just so you know, is now on a roll. As he gets older, he's a picky eater. And now, so I started to get him to eat, I put it in the spoon in the bowl. Now he won't eat unless I spoon feed him. That's how bad I've got it.
Okay. So where we eat, our dining room has this also like this day bed, you know, for lounging. It's lovely. But anyway, so it's just this, like, it's really just a futon on a bed thing. And whenever we'd have dinner, Ponzu, you know, we'd put his meal in the kitchen and we'd be in the dining room, just, and he would jump up on this day bed and roll around and make all kinds of noise. And it dawned on us after a month of this, maybe he wants to eat in the dining room with us.
Yes.
So now we put his bowl in the dining room. We are just one step away from him having a seat at the table.
Right. And Jackson sometimes does that. He'll wait until we start eating, so he eats with us. And I get that. But the new thing, and he did it this morning, I fed him like a couple of spoonfuls to get him started with the spoon in the bowl over the food, and he'll eat it. And then I put it down and walk away, and he stands by the bowl, and he goes, moof, moof, telling me to come feed him again. I created a monster.
Well, these dogs, I mean, they don't have hands. They don't have credit cards.
That's true.
They need us to do something.
And they know.
Variety in their diet life. Yeah.
And they know how to control us. He controls me. I know that. It's yeah. Anyway, so it just shows what we're obsessed with. But we're dog people.
But there's a relationship between, if you can relate to animals, it means you can also understand nonverbal communication. Body language.
Very much so.
Control, efforts to control, right? And so, you know, I think that we get some people who act more like animals than humans, namely Donald.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying. And the fact that he's not an animal person, that tells me all I need to know about someone. If they say, oh, I don't like animals, then this is not going to work. It's like when I did I met my husband online many years ago, but in my profile that I put up all that time ago, I said in the States that if you voted for George W. Bush, don't bother contacting me. And, if you don't have animals, then it's okay. don't come around either. So it's a good way to judge people. And, you know, if animals don't like you, then I'm a bit suspicious of you as well. I think they're a good judge of character. So we know all we need to know about Trump, who would probably kick a dog that he saw on the road. Anyway, so Jen, I'm reading the piece that you have up in Slate, and maybe you did use the word raid. But what I love is you talked about how great the week was going. And after a really kind of shitty winter into summer, not looking great for prospects for the midterms. We were all dejected and deflated and depressed and demoralized. All of a sudden, things started turning around, as we had hoped. But you made a very Jewish analogy in this piece that was kind of fun, if you want to share that.
Yeah, there's this, for those who have been to a Passover Seder or aware, a Seder is that special meal you have on the first night of Passover, which is also in the Christian tradition what the Last Supper was. It was a Passover meal, right? And one thing that you talk about, you know, is, oy, we were slaves in the land of Egypt, and then, you know, we're so grateful God did this, and then he did this, and then he did that to help us escape. But instead of just sort of telling the story, we go like miracle by miracle. First he did this, and that would have been enough. So we say Dayenu. It's one word. That means that would have been good enough.
That would have been fine. Like, we would have been happy.
That would have been fine. We would have been fine. You know, we're very sort of superstitious. We're not going to like complain. That would have been enough. But really what we're kind of trying to say is, yeah, no, I mean, it's good that you went through the whole thing and got us out of the desert and blah, blah, blah. And so each step by step, you say Dayenu, and there's a whole song, and I'm not going to sing it. You want to sing it, Nicole?
Dayenu. Die, I'm the worst Jew.
Hosianu, yeah. Mimitrying, Hosianu. Anyway, whatever.
You know more than I do. I'm a bad Jew. I'm a bad
anyhow
atheist Jew.
No, you're not. There's no such thing.
As an atheist Jew?
Yeah, it's a bad Jew.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So what I said is, you know, I kind of talked about the week had been for Joe Biden. I mean, getting many pieces of legislation passed, helping veterans secure the health care that they need, bringing down gas prices, addressing consumer inflation, the environment. I didn't mention this in this piece, but also the executive order protecting our right to travel for abortion care should we need it, and on and on. Oh, the CHIPS Act, just make sure that businesses have the necessary technology that they need. And all of this happened, right, this past week. And like I said, Dianu.
That would have been enough. We would have been happy.
That would have been enough. Right. That would have been enough. But then comes what? Search warrant on Mar-a-Lago. And what I really wanted the piece to be was a little bit more vibes, less law. Mm-hmm. Because there was this magical moment between the time when we were all sure that, yes, the FBI had come to Mar-a-Lago, but before we knew why. It was a moment, I mean, some people, and I think I used to be one, or I'm sometimes one, we're uncomfortable with uncertainty. We're uncomfortable not knowing everything. But I loved that moment because I've learned to savor these moments of joy, because pretty soon more details are going to come in. Life is going to interfere, and it's going to kind of dampen the fun, you know? It's like that moment in a movie theater. It's like this suspension of disbelief. You're in the movie, and something incredible is happening in the film. Now, do you really need someone telling you when you're watching a movie, by the way, you left the stove on, or, oh, my goodness, this relative is sick, or, this, you know, when you go to the movies, you go to escape. And there was a beautiful moment where it just seemed like the impossible had become possible. And that's what this piece is about, that moment.
Right. And so, but you do say, for instance, Mary Trump, your friend, said it's a little too early for celebration. Although it's hard not to. Because
fuck Mary. I don't care. I love her. But, you know, I'm celebrating.
Right.
A nod to her, too soon for her. But I'm going to be jumping up and down because I'm a little like that.
Because,
but she's right.
Right. But you're right. She is right. It's too early to celebrate. But here's the thing that we're celebrating. Not the fact that, ooh, the FBI went in and took the stuff. And what we're celebrating is the fact that the principle that no person is above the law is finally coming to light. Because up until this moment, it sure seemed like he could get away with anything, that some people are indeed above the law.
Exactly. I mean, I don't really care what the outcome of this is.
Right.
What I know is that, as Mary put, you know, we know that the playing field is just a little more level than we knew before. This is great for democracy. It's great for the rule of law. And it furthers the conclusion I made a few weeks ago that I was going to trust Merrick Garland. There was something that I was hearing in his voice, something that I saw in the fact that they were going to... What was it, they had grand jury subpoenas of his lawyers, mm-hmm. and of Pence's staff. And I said, you know what? Okay, he's going about this methodically. That's all I asked for. I asked for a fair process and no one to be above the law. And Monday night, that felt really real to me for the first time, you know, in over 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
And that, to me, is cause for celebration.
Well, and I fully agree, because it makes you think, thank goodness. It, you know, they are going to hold him accountable. Now, we hope. We're not there yet. And this has nothing to do with January 6th. This is on the Presidential Records Act. If what we're hearing now is to be believed. We don't know.
Yeah. Because he is not sharing.
That's the other thing.
Right.
He's go figure. Donald Trump lies. In case this is news to anybody, this man lies as easily as he breathes. So he's telling you one thing. He has the search warrant, or it's there at Mar-a-Lago. They leave a copy of it. So there is a copy of the warrant with all of its text there at Mar-a-Lago. Should Donald Trump want to release it to show what they were looking for, he can. He said today, I'm not releasing it. So he'd rather lie to us about what's in it, what it says, than tell us the truth. Nobody should be surprised by that. Now, justice is not going to release it because that's not what they do. This is still an open investigation, right?
Right. I mean, they can't do that. That would interfere with the... Still hear me?
Uh-huh. Can you hear me?
Good. Yeah.
Okay, good.
So... Justice isn't going to do that because it would interfere with the investigation.
Right.
So, I mean, they can't do that. And then he would claim that Justice jeopardized the investigation. he can release it. But, you know, what I would do if I were the Department of Justice is I wouldn't like let him take advantage of that silence. What I would do is I would say, you know, look, we can never comment on open investigations. However, let us just be clear that whenever we go into, whenever the FBI executes a search warrant, they videotape the process. And they, whatever the steps are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that they provide a list, just to reiterate what is done. And that it's always within the control of the subject of the investigation to share that information. But here's what we do. I'm not sure, you know, I think it might be helpful for someone to make that kind of statement. Certainly people who are nearly surrogates are making those kinds of statements. But the people who need to know that won't listen to that anyway, so...
No. Well, and that's the thing. We have a really sick media. And the fact that it's sick is, again, it's opposite world. I don't know if you've heard me talk about opposite world before, but it is, everything is the almost the exact opposite of what it should be, right? So you have them calling legitimate news services fake news, and yet they have Fox, which is fake news, that they, you know, that's what they believe, that spews lies. So it's this vicious circle. The fact is, though, back in the days of Watergate, can you imagine if everybody took everything that the Washington Post said and said, fake news? You know, we never would have gotten anywhere. The Fourth Estate, and I believe that a free press is a hallmark of a democracy. Without it, you don't have a democracy. And that's one of the first things they're trying to topple. So legitimate news. And look, I've got my problems with the Washington Post and the New York Times and network television like everyone else. But for the most part, they don't report on a story with the intention of misleading you. Right. I think the intention of the journalists who are doing the reporting is to get the truth out there. Now, what happens when people's ideology gets involved and, you know, they worry about the fairness and if we're both sidering it fairly enough, which is a problem as well, that's when things get warped. And because we have so many different ways to get information in this day and age as opposed to 50 years ago, a lot of it is distorted. The fact that people do not believe legitimate news, but they'll buy the, you know, nonsense spewed by Fox or Newsmax or OAN or, you know, Breitbart or whatever, is really troubling because it's propaganda. And propaganda will get us into, will lead to fascism.
Right. And, you know, I have to say, the world is what it is right now, right? We have not just Fox News, but not just your show, this show. I'm not trying to group you together. There's right. Lots of different places where people can get news, what they consider to be news, opinion, viewpoint, propaganda.
Yep.
And, you know, sorting through this in this day and age is similar to what it was like when television first came around and there was, you know, all these, commercials touting products where the information was inaccurate and all this stuff, you know. And so, but it is just grown exponentially. And I think it's really incumbent upon people who care about facts and people who care about having an educated electorate and not being, you know, subject to propaganda to try to figure out a way to make the voices louder and to denounce the, without repeating the lies of these bad news sources, you know, whether it's on YouTube or who knows what. And we're really in a challenging moment. But the Department of Justice needs to move forward on its investigation, regardless of those lies.
Right.
And that's the way they are moving. And, you know, you just saw that, was it yesterday or today? It goes so fast that a search warrant was issued to Scott Perry.
Yes, they took his phone.
Who was a representative for three of his phones. As far as I know, he has nothing to do with the documents that might be at Mar-a-Lago. So
right.
As far as I know, again,
right.
we don't know.
And I'm questioning listeners all the time.
Right. What?
I'm cautioning listeners all the time not to embark on speculation because that gets us nowhere. That just leads us down a road that no use in going there. That's right. What the other side does. They make stuff up. We need to deal in facts, what we know, and that Scott Perry's phones were taken. And on the surface, at least as far as we know, there doesn't seem to be a connection between him and these documents. That makes you think, okay, they are looking at Trump and January 6th. As they should be. And Jen, a few minutes ago, you mentioned that you sort of had a moment when you said, okay, I'm going to trust Merrick Garland. Well, let me tell you, Marcy Wheeler, you know, Empty Wheel, is a friend and a regular on the show. And I trust her. I trust her judgment, her reporting. I think she's beyond reproach. And for the longest time, as I've been skeptical of what Merrick Garland is doing and impatient, she's been saying, he's doing his job. Let him do his job. And I had to sit back and say, I trust Marcy Wheeler. She knows her shit. And sure enough, look, everything is unfolding, I think, as it's supposed to. We want to make sure. Look, this warrant on Monday was probably the most scrutinized search warrant in American history. It's the first time a former president has ever been subject to one. So you got to know they dotted every I and crossed every proverbial T. This is obviously they had to make sure it was beyond reproach, right? So it will stand up to any kind of scrutiny.
Yeah, I mean, there's something. Here's what we should. And I think Marcy is beyond reproach, amazing reporter. Trust her. But I was also hearing things. It doesn't matter what someone's doing. It also matters what they're going to be willing, how they're going to be willing to act.
Right.
Like, I think Robert Mueller was doing, you know, a lot of the right things, but at the end of the day, he couldn't
say it. He wouldn't go there. He wouldn't say the things he needed to say. He wouldn't say what his findings were because I think maybe he was too worried about the repercussions, about the what would happen in response. And I hope Merrick Garland is not thinking that, knowing that that's not his job. His job is to uphold the law and prosecute those who break it, right? And not consider
the thing is, prosecutors have to always make decisions about whether to prosecute or decline because there are more crimes that go on for which there's evidence than there's time or money or the desire to bring the cases. So it's not like, you know, prosecutors don't go, oh, look, I discovered a crime, I have the evidence, I'm going to prosecute. They always have to decide the next step should be. And they have these things called the, you know, prosecution guidelines, and people can see them online. Mm-hmm. It's called the Justice Manual now, and you can see the factors that go into it. But I agree with you. The political fallout is not one of those factors. And as many people have said, if Biden is concerned about that, he could issue a pardon, although that would be very dangerous for him to do prior to any him if he did that.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I do think that Gerald Ford pardoning Richard Nixon made Donald Trump possible. Because if it was known that a president is not above the law, that if you break the law, you're going to be held accountable, then maybe some wouldn't break the law as often as they do or did.
Yeah, I mean, and we all know that Donald Trump was a great admirer of Richard Nixon, and they have a lot of actual people. Relationships in common. Remember, Donald Trump, everyone always says he's transactional.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a couple relationships he had for which he wasn't transactional. Roy Cohen, that was a relationship his father had,
mm-hmm.
right? And as we all know, Roy Cohen had a relationship with Nixon and as well was, you know, McCarthy's lawyer. So that's a very bad seed. And then there's also Roger Stone.
Yep.
Right? Roger Stone has a big love for Richard Nixon and his tattoo on his back.
That's right.
And that's a relationship that Donald Trump has maintained over the years. You know, for somebody who supposedly, again, doesn't have relationships, isn't loyal, interesting who we can associate with him across many decades.
That's right. And then today, you look on the world stage and look who he sidled up to when he did occupy the Oval Office. And it was the dictators and the strongmen. It was Erdogan. It was Kim Jong-un. It was Xi. I mean, the worst of the worst. And our allies, nothing but contempt and treated them rudely. So it just shows you know, the character goes back to animals. If somebody doesn't like animals, you have to think twice about them. Yeah, it's a good, a really easy way. It's a shortcut, kind of. It's a hack. It's a life hack. No, if somebody doesn't like animals.
Right. I mean, what is this in this kind of, I think about the human nature. What is it about wanting to live in the world? Like, you want to live in the world where people can help realize their dreams, participate in family life, live a dignified existence until the time they need to exit onto, whether you believe, nothing or to another world. Like, what do you want that to be? And I for sure want it to be as caring and fun and exciting and pain-free and mutual as possible. That's not how Donald Trump wakes up in the morning.
No.
Right? He wakes up in the morning going, I should have gotten the Purple Heart. I want to be the best. I mean, he's like a five-year-old child, mm-hmm. not even one that I would have been friends with, but who hasn't matured in any kind of way and is all about domination, control, and war games. I mean, and there are some people who want that.
Yeah.
And this is the problem with civilization, that, you know, not everybody, obviously, I'd be an idiot if I thought so, thinks that we should be ideally living in peace and prosperity. That's just not, or democracy.
Right.
That's not what he or the Republican Party is about at this moment.
And people need to realize that as we are in election season, the Republican Party, today's Republican Party, is embracing Viktor Orban and not embracing democracy. That's what people need to know. That's what's on the ballot right now, is the future of this democratic experiment we have going on. And it very easily could go away. Jen Taub, thank you so much. I know I hit you up this morning. I had just read the piece in Slate, and I thought it was great. And I really appreciate it. And thank you for your input, and thank you for your work.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for your work, your voice, and your persistence.
Thanks so much. All right, we'll talk again soon. Have a great week, and let's hope the good news keeps coming. All right, take care, and sorry about the sound problems. Next time I'll have it fixed. Bye. Jennifer Taub, find her on Twitter. She's at Jen, T-A-U-B, and she does have a website, jennifertaub.com, where you can find all about her books and her law practice and her, you know, activism and everything else. I'll link to all of it from the blog where I post today's show. It'll be at NicoleSandler.com/8-10-22. Okay, I'm not sure what we're doing tomorrow. I did exchange emails with Howie Klein earlier today. He's doing well. I told you he's been out for a few weeks. He had surgery, thyroid cancer this time, so they had to remove his thyroid. He had surgery a couple of weeks ago. He said he's feeling much better, but he still doesn't have a voice back, so he can't really do radio. He should be back with us next Thursday. So I'll figure out what we're going to do tomorrow, and yeah, we'll just we'll keep it going, as they say. Thank you for listening. Until tomorrow, I'll leave you with the news and tell you to have a good night. Bye, everyone. Here we go.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The FBI search at the former guy's Florida home appeared to be focused on the classified White House materials that Donald Trump should have returned. This according to the Washington Post. Investigators reportedly suspect that Trump or his aides kept key records when they handed over 15 boxes of items to the National Archives just 7 months ago. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre told reporters that President Biden was not briefed in advance about plans for the search of the former president's home, saying, "We learned about this. The president learned about this, just like you all did, through the public reports." But the reaction from the right was hyperbolic and, well, truly ridiculous. Laura Loomer, a far-right activist running for Congress in Florida, wrote, "This is a war, and it's time to obliterate these communists." Seriously. And on Patriots Win and The Donald, these are pro-Trump message boards, top comments on Tuesday seem to be advocating for civil war, with the top comment reading, "Lock and load." Lovely. Well, calmer minds and legal experts continue to emphasize that it is a crime to destroy or remove federal records or to mishandle classified documents. They also say these laws threaten a punishment of disqualification, quote, from holding any office under the United States. Still, it's not clear how that would apply to a Trump presidential run in 2024.
if he were to be convicted. But the investigation appears to be expanding. An ally of the former guy, Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, who chairs the right-wing Freedom Caucus, on Tuesday said that three FBI agents seized his cell phone. Now, Perry didn't say what the FBI was looking for with its search warrant, which agents would have had to provide in order to take the phone. But Perry, like Trump, isn't handing over the search warrant. Perry is one of at least 11 congressional Republicans involved in discussions with Trump's White House about overturning the election. Perry said the FBI, quote, made no attempt to contact my lawyer, who would have made arrangements for them to have my phone if that was their wish. Yeah, it also would have given you a heads up to delete anything that you were afraid to let them see. And the FBI does not usually tip off the subject when a search warrant is about to be served. Meanwhile, Donald Trump remained in New York at Trump Tower on Tuesday night because today he's scheduled to be deposed under oath by the New York Attorney General's office regarding an investigation into the Trump Organization's finances. But in an early morning statement, the former guy said that he will plead the fifth in his deposition today. There were some notable outcomes in Tuesday's primary elections held in Wisconsin, Vermont, Minnesota, and Connecticut. Wisconsin has become a pivotal swing state, and there was another matchup between the former guy's chosen candidate, Tim Michaels, and a rival backed by the former Vice President Mike Pence. Well, Tim Michaels won the Republican primary for governor there. In Minnesota, Democrat Ilhan Omar, a member of the squad, survived a close primary for her Minneapolis House seat. In Vermont, Democrat Becca Ballant is likely to become the first woman to represent Vermont in Congress. And in Connecticut, Governor Ned Lamont and Senator Richard Blumenthal both got their first Republican challengers in re-election races that they're expected to win in November. And it's game over for yet a third Republican who supported Trump's impeachment, as six-term Congresswoman Jamie Herrera Butler, a moderate House Republican from Washington State who voted in favor of Trump's second impeachment, conceded Tuesday night. Herrera Butler's loss brings to three the number of pro-impeachment House Republicans who've lost their primaries this campaign season, along with Peter Mayer of Michigan and Tom Rice of South Carolina. Not only are election deniers winning in Republican primaries, they're also still on a slow-moving train to derail our democracy. In Minnesota, an election denier named Kim Crockett, who claims the 2020 election was rigged and illegitimate, well, she won Minnesota's Republican Secretary of State primary. And that's why it is so imperative that you vote. New Mexico police have arrested 51-year-old Mohammed Syed and charged him with the murders of two of the four Muslim men killed in Albuquerque, New Mexico, three of these murders happening in the last 2 weeks alone. Investigators tracked down a Volkswagen Jetta allegedly driven by the suspect. And finally, justice delayed is justice never served. A Mississippi grand jury declined to indict Carolyn Bryant Donham on charges of kidnapping and manslaughter in connection with the 1955 killing of Emmett Till. Donham, now 87 years old, is the white woman who accused 14-year-old Emmett Till of making advances toward her nearly 70 years ago. Unfortunately, the grand jury decided there wasn't enough evidence to bring charges. Donham said she didn't know what her then-husband and brother-in-law planned to do to Till after they brought him to her for identification. Till's disfigured body was found days later in a river. The murder and calls for justice fueled the civil rights movement. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on one of those donate buttons.